From God, our Creator, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here comes the first one. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
You remembered your cues. I'm so happy. Hallelujah. Feels so good to say that. For those of you that don't know, throughout the Lenten season, our church practices a fast on the word hallelujah or hallelujah. We don't say it in worship. We don't say it at all because we're trying to remember, at least with our language, that our joy is coming, that it hasn't yet come. But today it's here. So we have reason to shout. As a word nerd, or as my wife Michelle might say, as a nerd period, anytime that I have someone restrict my language, I get a little bit antsy and forgetful. As Michelle and Maggie and Rosemary will tell you, and Nick now as well, for weeks I've been accidentally picking music for the band for our 9 o'clock service that had alleluias and hallelujahs all over it. And they'd get there and say, "So this is for after Easter?" And yeah, that's what I was trying to do. Sure, that's right. Sometimes we would want a song so much that we would change to a word like Hosanna, like we say on Palm Sunday. But of course, during practice, I'd forget and be shouting hallelujah and hallelujah, forgetting once again. But I think that's because we're an hallelujah people. We are a hallelujah people. We are a resurrection people. We're about new life because Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Following, this is good. That's right. You see, we're an hallelujah people. We are a joyful people because we're a resurrection people. In other words, we have joy because we have life and new life. We might be sinners. Let me phrase that. We're definitely sinners. But in the resurrection of Jesus, God makes us saints, so we have reasons to sing hallelujahs. These bodies will face death one day, but in our baptisms, we are tied forever to the resurrection of Jesus, to this day, to this moment, so that we know death will never have the last word in our lives. So we'll just sing hallelujah into eternity with St. Augustine and St. Macrina and Martin Luther and his wife Katie Luther and Martin Luther King and Grandma and Grandpa and the saints who died too young and those saints who lived forever and ever. We'll shout together that Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah to that. Here on this bright Easter morning, the passage that I'm drawn to that makes me sing hallelujah today is this. In John, we heard that the other disciple who arrived at the tomb first went inside. Then it says two of the most fun lines. He saw and believed, but didn't yet understand that Jesus must rise from the dead. He believed, but he didn't understand. I think I like it mostly because it shows us that the resurrection of Jesus doesn't always solve confusion. The disciple believed, even though he didn't understand that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Talk about honesty in Scripture. We're here, we're witnesses of an empty tomb, and we haven't seen Jesus. We say we believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead, and yet we don't understand. That's faith. That's what we're about here. We're about belief because we've gathered today here and not one of us, at least I assume, has ever encountered Jesus in the body. Now, if you have or do again, I remind you that your cell phones and iPads have cameras, okay? So take me a picture because I'd really like to see. We believe, but we don't always understand. At least I don't. Not always. You see, in undergrad, I was a philosophy major, and so I used to search long and hard for the right proof of God's existence, that perfect argument that Jesus was, in fact, God become human, for the exact details of why religion makes sense. Here's the dirty little secret. Faith doesn't always make sense, at least not in terms of scientific proof. Faith isn't a math formula. No quadratic equations, Pythagorean theorems, theories of relativity can show us the existence of God. nor that our religious practices actually mean anything. But when I look into the eyes of a grieving husband who at his wife's funeral wants to hear the words of Psalm 23, I believe, even if I don't understand. Or when I visit some of our homebound members who have trouble swallowing any kind of food and yet want, somehow need, the body and blood, the bread and wine. They desire to taste Jesus at least one more time. I believe, even if I don't understand. We gather this morning as witnesses of what we believe and that it changed the world thousands of years ago. The Son of God, once dead, now lives, and that has forever transformed the world in which we live, and so we shout our alleluias. And of course, we need faith to see that, for often the world doesn't always seem that different from our perspectives. We still see injustice at work. Hunger still affects too many people. Homelessness plagues too many of our neighbors. Too many children live without loving parents. Too many people are suffering attacks of violence and hatred. Too many people who are poor or differently abled or different raced or part of an LGBT community don't know the truth of justice because they experience oppression instead. So has this really changed the world? Should we really shout hallelujah at the resurrection? But earlier this month, I spent a week with college students who could have done anything with their spring breaks. Gone to party in Cancun, slept till noon at home, got caught up on homework, or maybe even got ahead. And instead, they served 200 meals to people in need and provided hundreds of pounds more of food to those on the streets of Bradenton, Florida. They helped to clear lots alongside of Habitat for Humanity so three families could find a way out of poverty and into stability. These students put in hundreds of volunteer hours living life for other people instead of themselves over spring break, all because Jesus rose from the dead. That's belief, even if we don't understand it. Now, people often speak of Easter as evidence that should reinforce our belief, that should inspire our own assurance, right, in God's existence, as though Easter was the answer to that logic problem in Philosophy 101. And as a recovering philosophy major, I can tell you that that's just so backward. Easter is not a scientific proof for God's existence, at least not one that'll get you a good grade. Tried it. Instead, it's an experience of what God did, does, and will continue to do even when we doubt, even when we abandon God. Hear that again. Easter isn't proof. It's experience. Easter is our experience that tells us God's going to show up even when we think there is no hope. Even when we try to kick God out of the picture, even when we tell Jesus he's decidedly not welcome in our world anymore, God welcomes us back into relationship, back into God's presence, into the world created for our abundant life. The point of Easter isn't rationalizing our faith. The point of Easter is wondering in the surprise, miraculous power of God that always shows up. Jesus leaves the tyranny of death in the tomb and is the firstborn over all creation. In the words of one of our Lenten devotionals, we're reminded that if we killed God and life came through that, then we have literally nothing left to fear. We're drawn this morning into the bright light of Christ's shocking appearance, shocking in part because we just can't imagine it's real. Is this true? It's like staring over the edge of the Grand Canyon where you can't fathom the full beauty and power of majesty that is there. Or like standing in the midst of a summer thunderstorm outside where the just immense power is beautiful and yet more than you can handle on your own. Somehow, some way, we know this world was made not for our death, but for our life. The same is true for other people as well. People that have not yet heard or have not yet experienced this love of God. There's no evidence that will solve experiments in a laboratory that will convert the masses to this love of God who became human. But today, as a sign of all days, we are sent from this place as experiences of Easter. Each one of you is an experience of Easter. You are each a little resurrection. You are a little resurrection, and you are a little resurrection, living as an experience of the saving work of God. You introduce people to Jesus that they might believe, even if they don't understand. We're an Alleluia people, and as people who experience those shouts of joy and admiration, they might experience Jesus too. As people experience our belief, even though they don't understand, they might find courage to believe. So today we see one thing. We experience one thing. We believe one thing, even if we don't understand it. And I bet you know what that is. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Today we experience this goodness, this greatness alongside one another. But it's not an experience we're meant to keep to ourselves. So often I think we're embarrassed because we can't explain the fullness of our belief. Or perhaps we just can't prove that Jesus rose from the dead. What today reminds us is that even those who got to touch Jesus, to see him raised from the dead, had the same experience, had the same struggles. They didn't yet understand. This very experience of this very day tells us that our logic, our physics, our expectations are too small for the massive love that God has for each of us. Not even the grave can prevent God from bursting forth in new life for us all. Faith is this, not because it's logical, but because God has worked even beyond logic. As Martin Luther said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, one that we can stake our life on 1,000 times over. Today, we see that faith. We see that person because Jesus staked his very life on that grace. Even Jesus had a faith that through death came life for us all. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen.